34 today, mostly sunny. Yesterday we told you it was going to be cloudy all day, and the sun was out all day. And we told you yesterday the forecast said there was no chance of precipitation. Then I come out at 9:15 at night, my car's got a layer of snow and slush on it, and everything's wet. So here's what I can tell you today. 34 and mostly sunny. Do what you want with it. 25 and clear tonight. Mostly sunny and 43 on Friday. Where does that stand? Well, 39 and 21 are our highs and lows, the averages this time of year. So we are below that on one side today, but above it slightly on the other. The good news, pushing 50 on Saturday. Sunshine, mostly sunny on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, so you can get out and enjoy it. Go out and run 10 miles before you eat all those pigs in a blanket and wings and everything else. How many ways can you do chicken? I don't know. I'm going to find out on Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, Joe mentioned, coverage begins at 2 o'clock for the 6:30 kickoff, the 50th Super Bowl, Carolina and Denver from Levi's Stadium in lovely Santa Clara, California. Temperature for Super Bowl's game time, 74 degrees, so they won't have any problems out. Well, that's why they play it there. Mm-hmm. They won't have any problems. Neither will we until Monday morning. Now, since they haven't made the Monday after the Super Bowl a national holiday yet.
We're working on it?
I hope somebody is.
Okay.
We could see some snow on Monday, but the good news, Keith, it says here, less than an inch. We'll watch that forecast over the weekend to make sure that we don't have any problems Monday morning. And then on Tuesday morning, snow showers as well, but doesn't even give me a greater than, less than on that. 35 and 19 on Monday, 21 and 10 on Tuesday, so it's going to feel like February. Updated forecast, live radar, find it all at WGCLradio.com. It is Thursday. Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer both serve on the MCCSC school board. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I had that same James Taylor line in my head.
Great,
so if you guys want to sing, go right ahead.
Nah, I think we'll do the folks a favor. Instead, we will make them aware of local education issues here affecting our community on a Thursday morning, as we usually do. And as February gets started, Keith, I know you guys have a busy agenda. What is on the cards?
Way. We've been waiting for the grades. The grades are official now.
And Sue, Tom Petty said that was the hardest part, waiting.
Right. And so the grades are out, Sue, and it's only been almost a year since they took the test that we're now getting the grades on. How about that?
Well, yeah, it's frustrating. We've talked about the fact that this really doesn't measure what it was designed to measure. We're using it in the wrong way. It's not useful for giving any good feedback on students to know how to adjust instruction for individual students. To me, it's just a game now that we're playing in the state.
Sue, do you find it interesting that we're talking about, we're about to do the same thing all over again in the month that has Groundhog Day, and here we are doing it all over again, and maybe expecting different results this time, and the handwriting's already on the wall. The results aren't going to be all that different this time than they were last time.
You know, as you and I have talked about, we're not real confident that Pearson is going to be any different from our past vendor. And, you know, the testing company goes into schools and have schools test the test,
mm-hmm.
Which a lot of schools are concerned about because of the instructional time that it takes children away from to test the test. And I don't understand why the testing company doesn't do their own testing or pay us for testing the test. Any consultant that came in to test the reliability of the test would be paid. So I think all these school corporations that are having to test it on their own should be paid that same fee for going through the testing.
Just so people know, we did do some testing in Monroe County Community School Corporation. The classic one was RBB.
Yeah, that was really
funny.
Where
they brought parents in to take the test.
You want empathy?
Kids.
You want sympathy?
Oh,
there's one way to do it. That was a great picture on the HT's front page a few days ago with the parents sitting there trying to figure out the ice step there on the computer.
Well, and the conclusion was it was insane.
and you know, it helps those parents understand. I mean, I'm sure they already understood the implications of this test, but what it also did was keep kids in the classroom instead of taking mm-hmm. them out to test the test. So, once again, I am frustrated that we have to test the test that a testing company should be able to do on their own. I'm not sure that they're going to correct any problems that are found. This is not the way a test should be developed, especially knowing that it's going to be administered soon. I would hope a testing company would test this a year ahead, a year out, and then go back in and make any changes they need to make.
Well, and they've been doing these tests in other states. That's the other part of it, is how come you don't know?
Well, how come, let's take this one step forward. If this is so obvious to everybody in the education world, why isn't it obvious where Glenda Ritt stands up and says, or tells the governor and says, stop it. You can say this. You can make a declaration. You can make it where these don't count, these don't matter, these don't have to be done. Why doesn't that happen?
Because politicians are absolutely convinced that educators don't know what they're doing.
It's an election year. Wouldn't that be a great way to get your name out there saying you care about education issues, Sue Wanzer?
Well, yeah, you're right, and Keith is right. You know, for years we keep hearing about the failure of public education. And I'm going to go back and say what I said before, and this is my personal opinion. It is the Republican Party. It is ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a very conservative think tank. They write legislation for different states. You can look from state to state and see identical legislation. They're convinced that they're not convinced public education is failing. They want public education to fail so that they can funnel money into vouchers for private schools and for charters. So that people, because there's money there, and so that all of these different associations and companies associated with these places gain a little bit more money. There's a whole lot of money out there to be made from starting up schools and taking money. So I even think our most conservative friends should be appalled that we're taking taxpayer money and taking it away from the greater good and funneling it into different little schools or different little entities. And there's no government, there's no oversight, there's no elected oversight. There's nobody to say, yes, this is how your money's being spent. There's no chance for the public then to have input into that. And it all starts with the legislature. And I guess that's where our input is. And we can certainly change that in May and in November.
And as we move forward with these tests and everything else that's going on, we know it's not going to happen in the next week or two, which is fine. I get all of that. But at some point, why do we keep giving them bad tests and just having to paper over the results of it or having to go through these hoops to jump through? Why don't you just cancel the testing for a little bit until they get it figured out?
Well, that's a real good question to ask the legislators. And unfortunately, people aren't pressing that enough. However, there are a couple of sessions about school funding. One is tonight, sponsored by the League of Women Voters in the library at 7 o'clock. Vice Simpson will be speaking about educational funding. And on the 24th of February, same location, same time, Tim Thrasher is going to talk about the local impact on what happens with public education funding. And this is a great time for people to get some good information, for people to ask questions, and for people to start mobilizing to say there's too many things that our legislature is doing to education that's getting in the way of what we're trying to do in terms of teaching students.
Sue, before we get off the grade issue, because people are pointing this out, how come we go on the radio, the MCCSC, RBB, all the school corporations talk about this dastardly thing with these school grades, and yet when we get a grade of A, we trumpet it. You know, we brag about, well, we're an A school corporation. And I want to clarify something. We're not doing that so much for the MCCSC as to the implications that a school grade has for the community. That's one of the issues that people are missing in this thing.
Well, you know, and Keith, and I've been one of the ones to say I would be happy to take down all the A bands
in the school corporation.
We know that our schools are an A without a test score because of all the different opportunities, all the different measurements of achievement, our graduation rate, a lot of different things. But when that's the system that's set up by the state that's going to determine teacher raises, what's going to determine, you know, what they determine is a school, well, yeah, then I'll go ahead and so that our community, so that our teachers, so that our staff can feel pride in that. But I would just as soon get rid of all the grades and let us use different measurements instead of an ISTEP score. There's a whole lot of different ways we could evaluate schools and the achievement and by the success of students that go far beyond a standardized test.
Well, and the other part of that is that when people decide where they want to locate based on schools and how good the schools are, the grades are one of the indices that they use for deciding that. And an A school corporation is going to get a little more attention than a C school corporation.
Right, and if we were going to keep grades, I wouldn't mind keeping one corporation grade and eliminating the other grades for the right. schools, because what that does do, you're right, Keith, it sets up a, it perpetuates the segregation that we already have, mm-hmm. that we want to get rid of in this community, and it can't just be about the schools, it's got to be about the city and zoning and housing policies within the city, but part of that does rest on the schools, and if we could get rid of those individual grades, maybe people wouldn't choose a location based on a school grade, because no matter what the grade is, we know that there's a lot of good things going on in each of our schools, especially our elementary schools, which have a lot of different options. They're not all the same. So there's a lot of good reasons to live in one school district versus another.
We're talking with Sue Wanzer, a member of the MCCSC School Board. And Sue, we've got a meeting coming up Tuesday that's kind of important to this community because of what people are asking the schools to do.
Well, yes. When we were looking at our calendar year, a lot of people raised the issue about the length of day, the start of high school, the start time of elementary school. How do we configure that? So the superintendent did develop a committee with our union president and a few administrators, and they're taking a lot of input that came from parents through surveys, that came through community input, that came through a tiered survey of our teachers that had three levels to find out what they think about the length of day, the instructional time. And that information is going to be presented to the school board on Tuesday at a work session at 5:30, so that for the first time we can hear the results of that input, how they sorted that data, what it's showing. And then at our meeting in the end of February is when hopefully the school board will be taking some action on the length of the instructional day, start time, end time. And we know there's so many implications to all that. If we start later, we go later. Is that okay? Can we can high schools end later?
Where are you getting the buses from?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, and that's it. We have to go with the buses that we have, so we have to have...
Well, that's important because that's not something that just someone's opinion is based on. That if
right.
Buses are buses. I can stand
right.
up and scream about how people are selfish and want what's best for them, but that's not going to put 20 more buses in your parking garage.
Right, and that's right, Les, and that's the thing.
You can yell and scream all you want. It's not going to put 25 buses in there. It's not going to add an extra hour to the day.
We just have to figure out who goes first. With the two-tiered system, our elementary school goes at one time, and our middle and high schools go at another time. So we have to figure out who goes first and what time. Who goes second, and at what time, and then how long should the day be? So, yeah, we have some parameters here. We can't just do whatever we want. We have to use the resources that we have to make this work.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests. I saw a story last week. There is a Republican jumping in to challenge Glenda Ritz.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good that there's competition for this? Because Glenda Ritz at one point said, hey, I'm going to go be the governor. I don't know if I want to mess around with this anymore. What's the temperature taking here? Jennifer McCormick is the name of the woman. She's a leader of the Yorktown Community School. She's a school superintendent. Her husband's a teacher. She has a doctorate in educational leadership and all that stuff. Is this challenge good, Sue? Is this bringing more attention to the race? Because, again, Glenda Ritz for 2 months was trying to be governor here.
Well, Glass, that's a really good question. There's also a second Republican in for...
Yes, Dawn Wooten. I'm sorry I left that out. She's a college instructor from Fort Wayne. She jumped in September,
right.
But she said late last week to the Indianapolis Star that she still will be running.
Right. And now, remember that we don't vote in a primary for these positions. This happens through
that's
the
exactly
Republican
why I
and the
bring
Democratic
this up.
Conventions. Yeah, so... You know, yeah, I think it is good, Mike, because it adds more attention to public education. It gets more debate out. We get to talk about a lot of different things when there's some opposition. So I think this is good because we can hear different people's ideas and what different people's ideas are for solutions going forward.
And the more it's talked about, I would guess the more attention brought to it, the more everybody pays a little bit more to everything that's happening. Tell us about what's going on next Tuesday one more time. Who can be there, what's going to happen, and what time everything starts and ends?
It's a work session at 5:30 in the Administration Center. Everyone is welcome. We don't take public comment at a work session, but our committee will be presenting to the school board the input and the data that they have about the length of instructional day, start time for elementary, end time for elementary, start time for high school, and end time for high school, with all the data. And I don't know if they're going to make a recommendation as to one plan or two plan or three. I'm not sure how this is going to shake out because it'll be the first time the school board hears it, but I'm sure the board's going to have a lot of questions and a lot of good discussion around this. So I'm looking forward to it. And for folks who are interested, this would be a good time to listen, because then we'll have a couple weeks before our regular session where people will have a chance for a lot of input to the board.
Right. Just to make sure everybody's aware of the timing on that, you can hear everything on Tuesday. You can speak in two Tuesdays
right.
about what's happening there. But we'll get caught up next Thursday and go through what you heard and everything and the ins and outs of all of that if you have time for us next week.
Sure.
All right, good. We'll put it in your calendar, and we will do it a week from today.
Okie doke. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Sue. Appreciate the time. Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSE School Board and join us every Thursday morning to talk about local educational issues affecting our community.